Express yourself, don't repress yourself. We're on. Hi. Hey, welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Hemda.
Madonna gets stuck in your brain, you know?
Oh my God.
Can't help it. So we put up the poll yesterday. It was in regards to me going to the Madonna concert. After dinner, before the concert, I had some stuff to go, figured I'd give it to a homeless person. I didn't see one. But it's a fancy area. I'm a fancy guy. So I put the food on top of some kind of meter box on the street.
Thinking that their radar for food will find them in that.
That's where I would look.
Yes.
That's where I would look.
Oh, right. You have homeless fantasies.
Yes.
So that's where you would look for your food.
My homeless offerings are people 6'2 or taller. But that's some good pasta.
Okay.
And so I leave the concert and it happened to still be there. Untouched, meaning I saw the way I put my fork on top, plastic fork on top of it. That was still there. The way I tucked the bag under was tucked just the same. So I took it with me. And I asked the audience.
In front of your date.
In front of my date. No, it's not a first date. We've been together for a year. Get to know me. If it's a first date, I wouldn't have done that. Okay? But I'll tell you what.
I love this side note, this clarification.
If it was a first date and she put the food there and happened to find it and not take it, I'd be like, that's a note.
That's a note.
Okay. Am I with a prima donna?
Keith, no, you got to slow down because our new guest is like falling in love with you. This is really just so appealing. Welcome.
You're such a generous man.
Thank you. I put up the poll. Would you have picked your food up after a concert like Keith did? 45% say yes. 55% say no. And I wonder if they would do it if they were alone.
That's a good question.
Was it because you were still hungry?
I would have been, sure.
Like, why did you, wasn't the point giving it to a homeless person?
Yeah, but they weren't around, and now I'm hungry again. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't bring it into Madonna, obviously.
You fully digested, yeah. And it was time for round two. I get it.
Madonna took everybody's phone, so nobody knows what time it is, so she comes late, and it worked out for my belly. If you were alone, would you have done it? I think people get embarrassed to even take food to go, period.
I've been there where, and Keith is such a weirdo about taking it away. And by weirdo, I mean wonderful and fabulous, of course.
I will take three bites of pasta home. No joke.
You
and guess
really will.
And guess what's good at night? Three bites of pasta. Never regretted it.
I could never leave three bites. I like, regardless how full I am,
right.
I will finish that baby off.
That's my spirit. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it's really mental. You just have to tell yourself you're good. That's how do you think girls eat dessert? Like, I'm always full when I eat dessert. It's purely mental.
I was out with my stepson, and he orders chicken wings, but it's a fancier restaurant. So I'm making a note if he eats it all off the bone. And he had two left out of like five or six. And the waiter goes, "Are you done here?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "No." Yoink, yoink. No, we're keeping those chicken wings.
Also, eat the bones. Get some iron.
Yes. Get to know Pops. Yeah. You are raised improperly.
Thank you.
All right. Let's introduce our guest so you don't go crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, host of the podcast Burning in Hell, B-E-R-N-I-N-G, featured on the Hot Mess Comedy Hour, and is on Summer House on Bravo, Hannah Berner. Hello, Hannah.
Thank you for having me. You guys, you're like podcast legends, radio legends.
Oh, it's so
good. It's an honor.
It's good to hear that. I mean, it's good to have you here.
You're like, keep going. Yes, keep going. No, but I've known about you forever. And yeah, you guys have been around a long time.
Is this what they mean by SMR? What is that?
Yeah, yeah.
ASMR?
Yes. It's like, I am getting the tingles.
No, go on, Hannah.
I think Hannah's saying, look, you can afford extra food, Keith. You're a legend.
I'm like, how many years do you have to put in before you just let it go? I love how his whole thing, too, was to give it to homeless people. And then he's like, what am I thinking?
Right.
I have a craving.
Well, he's like, you snooze, you lose. Obviously, this is how you got homeless. You don't even know where to find food that's given
also,
to you.
Also, I'm convinced that you don't remember where you put the fork and you convinced yourself it was in the same place.
Right.
I've had a couple weird moments because as a New Yorker, they say, like, don't necessarily give money because it could like it enables the like homeless economy of like people instead of getting help just like staying on the street mm-hmm. and like but I always give food.
Yeah, I was just gonna go get help, but I got $20 pasta, so I think I'll just sleep on the grate. I just confused my lifestyle.
Pasta's therapy for me, so it depends. But I went to school in Madison, Wisconsin, and I remember
you were born and raised in Brooklyn, and you went to
went there for tennis. It was a culture shock, to say the least. But they have
for them, right?
Yeah. They were like, she's so complex. I'm like, no, I'm just critical of everything. But the homeless people are interesting there, and I remember I got sushi, and I couldn't finish the sushi, and I'm like, I'm gonna give it to homeless guy. And some homeless guy was like just standing on the street, and I was like, here, do you want some food? He goes, what is it? I said, sushi. He goes, I don't eat raw fish. I said, this is fucked up. New York, I feel like New York guys would have taken it.
No, but I had an experience. So once I was on the train, and there was this obvious homeless guy. He's like just way out of sorts. And I had this leftover food, and he goes, what is that? And I'm like, fuck, I was so looking forward to this later. And he's like, can I have that? I'm like, yes. So I give it to him. He rummages through it, sniffs through it, and is like, bah, and he throws it on the ground.
No.
I
was like, no. No.
You couldn't even wait until I left. I'm just like, well, I'm not allowed to get angry, but if you didn't touch that, I would have picked it right back up.
Also, what's hard, especially if you're in Brooklyn, is are they homeless or are they hipster? You don't know. You're would you like my food? And they're like, what?
It's like guessing if someone's pregnant. I'm not here to offend.
It's so true. Right. You give them a dollar and they're like, what?
No, my mom gives me this. Stop.
Exactly. I hand over my food. They're like, escargot. USA. No, thank you. But that is some. Instead of just giving the food back, you were obviously carrying it. They throw it on the ground. No one should have this.
But they put their fingers all in it. Yeah. They maybe try to bite us. And I think he might have asked me what it was. And I was like, vegetables, but I really like vegetables.
I don't like most sauces. What's the base?
I know.
I can have allergies too, okay?
He's like, I'm doing keto, so I need to know.
I have everything people have, okay? So I have a little allergic reaction to things. It's the mustard seeds. I'm human.
He goes, what do you have? And you go, what are your allergies? Does anyone have allergies here?
I put your pants on me one leg at a time, just like you.
Oh my God, Andrea's writing in. Somebody tried to give me a dollar the other day. Andrea Allen, our producer and host of Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
That is hysterical.
Oh, here's why. Here we go. I was crouching eating a gyro and I had a lot of bags. And it gets worse. She goes on, she goes, she kept insisting and I finally took it.
That's amazing.
Good for you.
People can make a lot of money. You should have stayed there all day and see how much you made.
But okay, so do you think Kyle thinks of you differently after seeing that? Or is she like, my fucking boyfriend's a weirdo? Because you're very
What's funny, I was very matter-of-factly here's the food. We're taking it. Not, do you think, will you look at me different?
So you were confident about
it. It's a fact. And she's like, I don't think you. And then she dropped it. She's like, she knows this isn't going to be discussion. I'm not asking her to eat it. This isn't being saved for our next date.
But she has to put her saliva on your saliva later.
Right. Right. Well, I wasn't going home with her that night, so.
You're hard to get.
Yeah. She goes, you want to come over? I'm waving my to-go container. I got plans, honey. Tomorrow. Let's talk tomorrow.
I feel like after dating for a year, so much is managing when you eat and then when to have sex. I straight up had a boyfriend once where we'd order takeout and I'm like, well, should we do it before?
Oh, I love you. Right. That's so smart.
Well, because I don't
economy
know.
Of time. I get it.
Because I want to be as open with my boyfriend. If we were just starting, I would never be like, well, let's be strategic. We just ordered Indian food.
Right.
Do we want to have fun tonight or do we want, let's make plans beforehand. You got to premeditate some stuff.
When he reheats the Indian in the microwave, you're like, that kind of night. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm not trying to mess around with bad things happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a female, you could ruin a whole date or a whole relationship with a bad stomach movement,
Yeah.
It's all so close together.
It is very close together. It is. A lot of releasing. Some is good, some's bad.
Who designed this body?
Sorry, this just got weird real quick.
Yeah, I love it. But so did she do any passive aggressive?
No, but she did ask later, how's the pasta? And I go, fantastic. Fantastic.
And she was like, oh, I had to ask you how the pasta was because I didn't ask you earlier at dinner.
Was the pasta like really good? Like it was really worth it?
Yeah, it was worth it.
And what kind of pasta?
Say it slow.
A rigatone with mousseline.
Okay, you don't have to attack me. I'm Italian and I feel offended, but it's okay.
It had a little eggplant.
The worst Italian accent.
But it's also his Chinese man accent.
But we don't do that anymore.
No, we don't do that anymore. You want to get on SNL? Calm it down.
No, we got appetizers. We really lived it up and we couldn't finish it all. But it was from a nicer place. You know, I did expect a homeless person to have it. I should have put a little sign like $24 value.
Mm-hmm. Because that's their problem.
But it all worked out.
I love how you remembered the number. He's like $24.50 plus tax.
Oh, tax, yeah.
And tip.
Oh, but I'm not going to take it home. You brought me the food. There's $15.
But I've never seen Keith have shame in a restaurant. Okay, so here's the Keith experience coming in. He goes, it's always like at a pretty nice place because if he's going to eat, he's going to eat. And then it's like appetizers. Sure, two appetizers. You can't.
That's Italian of you.
You can't decide between one or the other. We're outside. Because he like rarely goes outside.
Is he getting the bill though? Because I don't want him throwing tons of appetizers out there and then we're all splitting.
He doesn't know the math, so sure. Okay. Just tell him that's a split.
He doesn't understand numbers. I get it.
So then
things are getting pricier.
So then the food and the dessert and the coffee that you have to drink as fast as the dessert or he's going to give you the eyes. And then
we didn't go out for coffee. We went out for dinner.
And then he goes to the waiter, okay, these two pieces of steak that I didn't eat, you know, that's going to go in a box. And then this bit of mac and cheese is going to go in the box. Mm-hmm. And they try. The waiter's like, these two pieces. And he goes, he doesn't even repeat himself. He just goes on. And how does he go on? He's like, okay, it's time to clean up. Not in the bathroom. There's water that we're about to leave. So we're done drinking the water. He sticks his hands in the water.
In the cup of water. Then I just dry my hands off.
Takes the napkin. He's like, ready to go.
Life hack.
Brought his shampoo out. Just started shampooing his head. Okay, we need to go.
Kyle goes, what are you doing? We're going to hold hands after this. What are you, an animal? Greasing each other
so
up.
So you cleaned your hands to then eat homeless food after.
You know what? It's like taking a car right off the lot, right? Now it's homeless food. It's still food.
That is so funny to me. You're like, well, I gave him 2 hours and you snooze, you lose. Right.
I picture like a homeless guy was like poking at it. Like he thinks it's a setup from a police officer. And then he sees me take it. He's like, damn it. God damn it.
Oh, that's
like, if
so
that's
funny.
There one more minute, I'm going to take it. I'll wait till these concert goers leave. Fuck! Tickets are $200. This guy's taking my homeless food. Fuck!
My move, though, is I go to, what's that, like, what, it's like Chipotle or one of those, but it's not as good, and they give you chips automatically.
Qdoba.
Yes, and there's it's like Moby's, no, whatever.
Okay.
But they give you chips. So then I always like give the chips to a homeless person. But you always like think they're going to be so grateful.
Yeah.
You always think I'm like, they're going to love me.
I have to tell them I can't take you home. It's just chips if you would like them. And of course you do.
Here's some dry shit.
Everybody likes dried chips when you don't have water.
You know, like you walk by and you really want to give them something. I'm like, I'm such a dick because I don't have anything. And then you finally do and they're like, yeah, thanks, you dick.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how I feel. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for them because it doesn't help your ego.
Oh, such a PSA.
That was my PSA for the day.
So deep.
Now I can go back to being an asshole.
This is something somebody would say on Summer House. I've learned that what you can do boast for yourself.
Keith, are you a huge Summer House fan?
Is by doing things for other people. God, he's hot. God, he's hot.
Honestly, I don't know how the guys keep their abs so tight with drinking so much on a show.
Right. So,
I gained 10 pounds last season.
This is you gaining 10 pounds?
Well, now I'm like back in my ritual, but I gained 10 pounds.
The toilet?
Yeah. Honestly, people think like to lose 5 pounds, you should like drink water with lemon and like all this shit. I'm like, go to Chipotle and like you will detox yourself. Right. That's what I do.
Quick, try to run.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Exactly. Go for a jog after Chipotle. You will lose 8 pounds.
And there's like in our neighborhood, there's a Chipotle right next to a Starbucks. coffee and Mexican food. Right. Hello, 10 pounds less.
Hello. Hello.
Well, you're not shy about it. You brought up tennis. Uh-huh. You were good at tennis, right?
I still are. I played, like, I was one of those crazy people. I played every day since I was like 8 years old to like 22.
Now, did you get a eating disorder from that?
I definitely had. Okay, when I went to a tennis academy in Florida, I was ranked like top 15 in the nation.
Damn.
And I felt a lot of pressure because my family didn't like have a lot of money and they basically were investing in me.
Right.
And I felt so much pressure as a 14-year-old to win while away from my family.
Sorry, did they play tennis? Like looking back.
I came from a family of coaches. Like my grandpa was a basketball coach in Brooklyn.
Wait. Do they have the accent and everything?
Oh, 100%.
Are they yelling at the kids,
What are you doing? What are you doing over there? Bend your knees. Do you want some water? You want some water? Well, maybe you should try harder next time. they talk like this. My dad like has a good Brooklyn accent. My grandpa has. Yeah, because we're like, he's like European mutt, my dad, and then the other side's Italian. It's just a lot of attitude.
Right.
So when I went down there, the only thing I can control was like, I couldn't control if I could win. I couldn't control if my family was happy with me, but I could control that I was like eating right and I was working out as much as I could. So like I wasn't anorexic, but I wouldn't go crazy and eat a lot of food. So I lost weight. And like, it's also, I wasn't admitting to myself I wasn't happy at this tennis academy. So like sometimes physically your body tells you by just like not being itself.
What kind of not itself?
Like my body.
Like
just,
sometimes it faints a little.
Right. Yeah, like it's literally broke down. But yeah, I was playing like 6 hours a day and I wasn't eating as much as I probably should because I wanted to be as fit as possible. Right. And then one day I just like started crying and I didn't know why. And then I was like, oh, I miss my family. I forgot why I love the game and I want to go home.
Who taught you that it was an eating disorder? Because, you know, if you explain that to somebody, it sounds so subtle.
So what happened is I lost my period, if we want to go there.
Sure.
Because I have a heavy flow and a wide set vagina. I'm just kidding. That's a Mean Girls quote. for all the men listening.
That's funny because
you wanted to hear me talk about my cooch.
I was actually thinking, oh, it's the men that liked your Mean Girls quote. Shout out to our audience. We love you.
Honestly, Mean Girls, incredible movie.
If it's not Clueless, it's Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Or The Godfather.
Okay. Or The Godfather. So I stopped getting my period and I Googled it and it's called the female athlete triad syndrome, where it's like you're obsessively working out, you're not eating enough. I was probably eating like 2,000 calories a day, but I'm burning so many calories.
Are you excited for a second going, athlete, that's me?
Well, I'd already been past like I mean, on Summer House, they make fun of me because they made me explain how I was a tennis player. And then they would like do a mini 30 for 30 every episode to like reality TV. They want, you can like watch at any time and they make sure you know everything going on. Right. So they kept repeating my story that I was a tennis player and people started to get annoyed. They're like, we get it. You played tennis. Right. You're an athlete. And I'm like, I said it once and then they replayed it 400 times.
Like, as if you put together the package.
Yeah,
you
know? As if I was like, can I talk about me playing tennis, like raising my hand? No, they asked me once to explain my career and then repeated it all the time with the same photos. So,
I noticed they did that on Chopped. I was watching it for a long time and at first it was about the food. Like, what can you make out of this nasty, stupid
Chopped
shit, right? Then, I don't know, they must have hired a special effects person and it was like, shoop, shoop, shoop.
Right.
This person's kid is about to die from cancer. Listen to this shit.
Everyone's family died in like a fire for some reason.
It's bananas. But the worst, okay, they'll give you like a father who's fighting for his kid. Like he just needs like chemo and this 50 grand would change his life. Yeah. And like a mother who's like, I'm a single parent and I have three children. One of them's about to go to college. The fourth one is like, oh, I never had, you know, lunch because I skip it because I can't
afford
it.
I came out to my family and they all deserted me and I've been homeless for 10 years.
But then the fourth person will be like, I just want to ask my girlfriend to marry. Get the fuck out! Fuck out of here!
You don't know how to bake bread.
That's regular shit!
You're like watching them eat the chicken parm that person made and you're like, don't like it, don't like it. How dare you like it?
Oh, the ring? Fuck off!
But I wanted to bring up tennis on Summer House because a lot of people were like, oh, Hannah was such a great tennis player, but I wanted to open up about like tennis gave me a lot of anxiety and it actually was like a I dealt with depression and like tennis is a very mental sport. And
and the reality show didn't allow that?
The reality show.
Did it cut to you drinking a little bit?
It cut to me in my bikini peeing in the hot tub, whatever I'm doing. That was my like number one. I love the hot tub. I'm from Brooklyn. We don't have hot tubs in Brooklyn. And I was like, there's a hot tub. And they're like, can you have a conversation with Kyle? And I'm like, there's a hot tub. I'm going to be in the hot tub.
You bring Kyle here.
I know.
And we'll talk.
That'll be an even better scene. Just Jersey Shore, but in the Hamptons.
How did you get on this reality show?
I said I have an eating disorder.
Honestly, I have like a bazillion disorders, but I was my most depressed. I had quit tennis because it just wasn't making me happy anymore. But then I was like, wait, the real world, it's way worse. After college, I was like in sales. I was doing cold calling. Ugh. That was fun. And then I was doing marketing, which was just like boring as shit. And I did at the University of Wisconsin, I learned how to edit videos and I really liked videos. And I've always been like goofy. And I was like, I just want to do video. I just like put it into the universe. But I was like, I don't think I'll get paid for that.
Don't people put that in the universe.
I know. True. I'm like, I'm going to be broke. I'm going to be like trying to find people's leftover pasta on the street and then watching them take it from me.
This is the universe running through. I caught that done. Next person.
But I basically was like, I want to do video. And this company called Betches that does like me, this like female millennial company, they're looking for a video person.
By the way, they love being called that. As female millennials, basically betches.
They're betches. And they wanted a video producer of a lot of experience, but I like submit a funny video. They're like, we'll start you off freelance, see where it goes. So I started writing, editing, producing funny videos for them. And then I got to meet a lot of cool people working at the company, and I had interviewed the Summer House cast like in a little just media thing, and my name got thrown around in the when they were recasting.
Man, you almost sound like a dude how things worked out for you.
I said hi.
Like a handsome white man.
Did you find yourself making fun of the reality show at the time to yourself, and then they go, do you want to be on it? And you're like, yes.
It was so funny because, yeah, I love shitty television. I love reality TV, but I never thought of myself as, well, there are some people who like really want to be on reality TV. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to be on TV. I just didn't see it, me peeing in a hot tub. But I did like the fact that they show your career. So they like follow your career during the week to show why you're stressed and want to party on the weekends. And I grew up in Brooklyn and my parents have a place in Shelter Island. So like I like to play tennis, I golf, I'm like a retired old man. But I was like, I could get paid to party a little, you know?
Do you have to catch yourself making sure you don't jump too far ahead of this career that it could be? There'll be Summer House Lovers, Summer House, you mm-hmm. know, Road Games, mm-hmm. Summer House. Like these things can go on. This could be it.
The challenge of Summer House.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. When I go on a lot of comedy podcasts, they're like, did you make a huge mistake? And I feel like in this day and age, reality TV has changed a lot into more just like, it's really exposure. Like, obviously, I'm not Cardi B or Kim Kardashian, but you could see how people can change their careers. The universe heard it. Just throwing it out there. See what happens. Just manifesting.
But you know what? Maybe if we didn't live in the day and age where literally everybody has their own reality show. It's on their phone.
You're so right. Also, no one watches TV anymore, so that's also a factor. Right. But what's cool, what's different about this day and age is back then, if I was on a TV show, the media controls everything with me. So like, let's say you're on Road Rules or like MTV, whatever.
Right.
It's just people just see what they write about you and what's in the media. Where I can now control if people like me, I can tell them, hey, you like me? I actually have podcasts. I do live shows.
Right.
I made this video of myself. So you can actually tell them how you want to be perceived. If I just like laid back and let Summer House be the only thing going on, I think I would be pigeonholed.
So where are we in Summer House right now with you?
Great question.
she's the best. Mm-hmm. Question. Okay. Kendra really is a legend, isn't she?
I'm witnessing it firsthand. It's incredible. I'm nervous. So we filmed the first season. It aired and, I got a big following on Instagram, which is cool. Mm. My one piece of advice was people were like, don't have people react and just be like, oh, Hannah, yeah, she's cool. Like, really go be your full self so people either love you or hate you. So the people who loved me started following me. And at the same time, I had just launched my podcast. So I was like, if you like me on Summer House, you could listen to me, like, unedited, just fully myself. Mm.
Do you catch yourself saying stupid shit? Like, if you love me, you'll love me. But if you hate me, you'll hate. And I'll tell you something else. At your funeral, I won't be there. You know why? Because I'll be in jail.
Yeah.
Because I fought the person that attacked you.
Yeah.
And broke their fucking face right in front of the police.
You don't have to get violent. We don't have to go violent.
He was so intense in that moment.
He was scaring me. I was like, do I keep the eye contact? Right? Do I not keep the eye contact?
It's the eye contact, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
That glare.
Yeah, and then the full face mouth.
I was like, did I not finish my food? What happened?
That was my stepson who wastes chicken wings. He sends a tweet out or just forwarded a meme to all his guy friends. He's like, if I won't be at your funeral. wait for it. Here's why.
So if people hated you, what did they hate you for?
I'm anti-Semitic.
The thing is, besides that, I was very, I feel like I was more self-aware people on the show. Because you're saying, do you make fun of people on reality TV? I went in fully like self-aware myself, making fun of myself, and also being honest, like making fun of everyone else. But also ultimately, I just want to show people like I wasn't perfect and that just because you're on TV doesn't mean you're like, a lot of people go on TV to like look aspirational and be someone they're not and be like, look at me, I'm better than you because I'm on TV.
You didn't say that?
I said it with my eyes. Okay. Then,
that's what they really mean by smize, right?
Yeah, that's okay. What a smize is. It's like, fuck you. But I try to go on to be like, yeah, I've dealt with anxiety, I've dealt with depression, I've had like bad breakups, and like I'm here.
So I'm just human, guys. Now,
I'm human.
Start whacking.
Now, yeah. Now subscribe to my podcast.
going back real quick, yeah. You looked up the symptoms of you feeling sick, and that's when you realized online that you had
I was like, oh, female athlete triad syndrome. That's like what I have.
Also, you know who else suffers from that? Homeless women who can't find food. Keith. Mm. Anyway, continue,
and they have to walk for it, and they work out a lot. But it wasn't. I think also like it comes with perfectionism. Like I'm a perfectionist. It's what makes me like good at some things that I do, but then also makes my head like a mental, warfare. But I went back home. I went to therapy for a couple months. And like, I honestly have never had trouble with eating since. I think everyone in their teens or in their 20s or at any point has a moment where they're like, oh, I can use food to try to control the world. And then finally you're like, yeah, I can't control anything but my thoughts. So
that's cool. Very Eckhart Tolle of you.
Thank you.
Yes. I had something like this. I was a kid and I thought McDonald's was food.
He has such strength.
The commercials literally tell you that it's not. Well, recently they said it's real. Recently they're like, it's real now, but.
Yeah, KFC can't even call itself chicken. So, okay.
That's why they just go by the C.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying it out where a special cheeseburger is made from real meat. Like, what? Is this a lawsuit you lost? What did you just say? No one asked. No,
but it tastes good and, it gives you a brief sense of life is okay.
Gives
and then
you something.
It kills you. Yeah. Slowly.
Not if you walk into one, though. You're talking drive-thru.
Yeah, drive-thru.
That place itself is a bummer. So whenever you do you apply, do they say, hey, we like you for Summer House. Let us know some things and you can bring up all these anxieties? Or they just knew they liked you?
So they reached out to me just because they want people who actually have chemistry with each other. What makes the show good is people who have good energy. It's not like 8 random people in a room. Like, we all have reasons we're like somehow connected, and those connections create drama or passion or
were you single whatever. When you went in?
I was single.
Okay. A lot of people think they get lost in it and they forget this giant camera is right in front of their face and they cheat on their loved ones. Any of that happen?
I think the way that could happen is maybe someone telling you like, you'll blow up this season if you make out with Steve, and you like believing that.
Could you write to home? Like, are you able to write to your ex or excuse me, to a current boyfriend? Let's say, hey, I'm supposed to make out with Steve. Do you mind? Or are your phones taken away?
The phones are not taken away. I mean, you could do that, but like, that's more drama. Is Steve really going to be cool with that? And if he is, then the producers would be like, your boyfriend's letting you make out with someone else. Like, the producers, they're smart.
There's cameras everywhere.
What's cool, what makes Summer House a very like real reality TV show compared to other shows is that we have like Big Brother-esque cameras. So in the very beginning, I was very aware of the big cameras. It was hard for me because also I'm a video producer. So I'm thinking like, well, how's this going to be edited? And how's it going to be, how am I coming up? But when you get home and you're hammered, that's when the good stuff happens because you're just drunk. There's no cameras anywhere. It's just like little security cameras everywhere in your bedrooms, everywhere except the bathrooms.
And they see in the dark now.
And they see in the dark.
These cameras, yeah.
So the good stuff happens. And also other shows, they'll like be like, okay, you're going to shoot a scene and go to this coffee shop and talk to so-and-so. Where summer house, we're just all in the house all the time. So like if we fight, you immediately have to deal with something. You have time to like get off camera, think about it, the next day shoot another scene.
So did you have a line that they were trying to keep you in? Like did you have a storyline that they helped produce and kind of keep you in that?
I think what we had an incredible showrunner, and he was loving hip hop with Cardi B. Like he discovered Cardi B. He's this Ian Gelfand. He's amazing. And I would talk to him and he was like, yeah, anyone could script a show, but you can never script something better than reality. Like you can never predict the real stuff that will happen. It's always better than what I can like make up in my head.
But they still kind of go, so hey, you know, so-and-so likes you. Do you think you're going to go for it?
So yeah, reality TV is like real life fast forward. So let's say like I make out with a guy, then it's like, okay, well, how do you feel about him? Where like normally I could just make out with someone like for 2 weeks, you know, twiddle my thumbs and not care.
It is funny when the credits come up and it says Raiders written by, and you're like, what?
I feel like there's, but the story is also like, yeah, it's like you get on a surfboard and then you just start going. Once something happens, like if you're in a fight with someone, then it's like, okay, you either have to resolve it. Like,
Did you get into a lot of fights?
I'm the least confrontational person ever. So I was very scared of fighting. Mm. But Summer House, this is going to blow your mind, but it made me actually grow as a person. Because what other situation?
Oh, you're out. Goodbye. Yeah.
He literally like crumpled his paper. He starts ripping it.
I'm afraid they're going to get rid of you. You got to start pushing people in these hot tubs.
Well, you guys are drowning them in your pee hot tub. I'm forced to deal with social situations I would never, ever force myself to do. Right. So normally if like you don't like someone, you just don't talk to them and talk shit to your friend about them. This situation, let's say I get in a fight with you, the next day suddenly we're on a kayak together alone. And like I was forced to deal with so many uncomfortable social situations that has now desensitized me to the point that like I'm not afraid of confrontation anymore. I've done it and it's not as scary. It actually makes people respect you more, I learned.
Do you regret any of the fights that you did have? Did you say anything?
I regret not standing up for myself more in some fights where I like wanted to be, I was like too nice. Mm. You like watch it and you're like, they were right. I should have given it to her. Mm. Like I instead of, but also I learned that every side of a story has three sides, if that makes sense. Mm. As in I used to just be like, yeah, I'm right. Like that person doesn't get how I feel, I'm right. But then a reality show, you see the other side of it and you also see how like you're both not completely right. And that's helped me kind of I've learned a lot about conflict and resolution.
But that's what they say, right? There's three sides to every story. Yes. Yours, mine, and the producers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Here's the big question. Mm-hmm. Were you there to make friends?
Mm, good question.
Thank you, Keith.
Are you saying I was there for the wrong reasons? I made a best friend on the show, which is insane. I wasn't there to make friends. I was there to like not make a fool of myself.
Okay, we're done.
I was there to not make a fool of myself. I was like, I signed up for the show. If I didn't make friends, it would have been good TV. And if I did make friends, it's good TV. Because like the show, people don't watch. Summer House is a very like fun, chiller show than The Housewives. Like,
the one that you were on?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Let me tell you why this one's different.
Yeah, this one's better, but like, no one's husband's getting deported. Like, yeah, some people like get cheated on, but like, yeah, no one's like, I don't know what housewives do, burn each other's house, their mansions down. I don't know, but it's just not as aggressive. Like, people watch it to like chill, have fun, and it's relatable drama. You're like, oh, my friend did that to me too last year.
Did you know that that's what you looked like drunk?
Oh, my eyes are just dead. It's my sunglasses are always like on the tip of my nose. Also, what they don't talk about is like they'd make us like we want to look pretty for the parties, and then I would just dunk myself in the pool and I'd go 3 hours of filming, no one telling me I just had mascara all over my face, and I'd be watching the scenes and I don't even care what people are talking about. I'm like, no one could have just taken their finger and rubbed my cheek just a little. I look like I've been crying for 10 hours. So yeah, there's little things, little angles of your face. You're like, God, I don't know, I look like that from that angle.
Is there a makeup person? Do you wake up and go to makeup?
No. There's okay. We also provide all, like, we have to pay for our own food. We like,
oh,
they like everything.
Oh, so that you can fight about that was my food.
It is. Okay. And then like we have to plan all the parties. We clean up all the parties. They're like, it's real, right? It has to be real. It's honestly some bullshit. They're like, clean up your party. And I'm like, oh my God. Honestly, I didn't sign up. And then we fight over who's not helping. It's a whole thing.
But they pay for the booze, I assume.
They give us stipends okay. for like parties and stuff. But there's like legalities that they can't like be like, here's all this alcohol, drink it.
I see.
Yeah. I bet you guys didn't buy alcohol. Some would appear. So, I got a feeling there would be some alcohol.
Yeah, but also now that we've been doing the show for a bit, alcohol brands like send us stuff.
Sure.
They know your address? Oh, right.
Yeah, who gave them that? They somehow figured out my address. Yeah. I just keep getting sent to me.
The producer gets called like, I'm sorry. We don't know their address.
Guys, we have this and legally I can't take it home. So I'm going to leave this in the summer house.
Also, sometimes we'd have some alcohol missing. I'm like, those darn producers.
Mm. Right.
They have fun. They have fun too. People don't understand that like we're eight of us getting filmed, but then there's like 50 plus people there too. That are doing a bazillion amazing things, and like their vibe affects the show too. And like I really love
you ever
crew.
Catch them fighting.
Oh yeah, there's so much crew drama. I'm always trying to figure out like who's fucking each other. There's like a hot cameraman, and I like pull a producer. I'm like, who's fucking him?
That's happened multiple times though, where on reality shows it comes out that a producer somehow snuck in a room without a camera and had sex with a contestant.
That's a big issue. Like that's like the biggest no-no. Like you'll get fired from like. You'll be blacklisted if like a cameraman hooks up with a cast member.
Wow.
But the cameramen are so hot. They're just like these huge burly guys who just like watch you all the time. I would joke with my friend like
they watch me.
They'd come in my room and they just give me all the attention I want and I'm like, oh, they're so obsessed with us. They just follow us around.
They're always there for me even when I'm sleeping. I feel so safe.
Yeah. I love that one. I'd be like, oh, he's so obsessed with me and he can't say anything. It was fun. It was like a weird fetish for me. Just like large men follow me around and be like talking shit about them. And they can't laugh, but they want to.
That's
it was
great.
Hot.
He definitely noticed I got a haircut. He has to by law. Where do you guys do your confessionals? That's what sets the show apart.
We do in the city.
Okay.
So, but like we're doing it throughout while we're filming.
Where are you filming?
So we film in Watermill. We have a house in Watermill. So we.
What the fuck is Watermill?
It's in Bridgehampton.
Okay.
In Bridgehampton. Okay. It's just a small part of Bridgehampton. Mm. So we film in the city. Our like jobs that we do during the week and then we film on the weekends.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And okay. like, so what's been cool is you get to see me like think of my podcast idea where I'm like, oh, I want to do a comedy mental health podcast, talk about people's demons, but it's just like a stupid idea. And then you eventually see me like doing live shows and stuff. So it's cool to see.
That's great.
And then also know like the fucked up personal shit that's going on in my life during my career. So I think it's a great way to like connect with people and also just put yourself out there to then do other shit you want to do.
Does anybody
you say you're still filming. I was reading something that says it tapes between Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an old thing? Is that a trick they're pulling on me?
So I'm still doing confessionals, but we finished filming.
Okay.
Like the next season.
Well, you did a confessional today, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. What kind of questions did they ask you?
Well, they have you react on like everything that happened.
Oh, so they're showing it to you.
They don't show it. Oh. They just say, they'll just ask you questions.
Oh, remember when so-and-so blah, blah, blah?
What if it never happened? They have to do that sometimes. Like, and this person called you a bitch. Assume that we showed it. Yeah, well, fuck her. Well, that never happened, but it did now.
But what's funny is like, I'm not even afraid of like we're all like a family. Like I've been cursed out.
Is that what a
out.
Family looks like?
These producers are like, do not. There's going to be a sit down this weekend. Nobody say we're a family. We hate each other.
No, I had a point today where I was like going off on one of the guys on the show, and they were like, "Hey, we don't need all that negativity like right now. It doesn't make sense." And I'm like, "Well, we got in a fight. Like we recently got in a fight," and they're like, "It doesn't make sense for you to be so mad at him for this little thing he did." I'm like, "Yeah, well, he's been a prick to me," and they were like, "It doesn't make sense. You can't." Like freak out on him.
Right? Who's saying this? The producers?
The producers. Yeah. So it's not always about fighting. It's about like earnestly understanding where we're at.
Well, this is sad. Someone's not winning an Emmy.
Yeah.
We're
not winning an Emmy.
Work it out.
It doesn't make sense that you're so upset.
Watch RuPaul's Drag Race. See what they're doing over there.
Because we're like continuing living our real lives. And they're like, put your mindset to where you actually were when this happened.
Oh, and at the time he wasn't as big a prick to you.
Exactly.
Okay, but I'm reporting back that he's a prick.
Here's the description. Montauk, New York. They can say Hamptons, right? A beach town in the eastmost point of Long Island is where affluent New York. Are you an affluent New Yorker? Yeah, you did tennis, right?
I mean, if I get recasted for the show again, I'll be more affluent, but right. I would not say affluent, no.
We're soon to be affluent New Yorkers. Head during the summer to have a good time and get away from the stresses of city life. Summer House follows a group of 9 friends who, after toiling away at their jobs during the week, share a house together on weekends between Memorial Day and Labor Day, America's unofficial summer season. While there, they enjoy an exclusive high-end lifestyle that allows them to let loose. Booze-filled brunches, charity galas with booze, bonfires and booze. And of course, booze-filled, drama-filled romances are on the docket for the young professionals in their summer playground. Included in the close-knit group of life of the party, Kyle, who must decide whether to grow up or remain the quintessential bachelor. What's he going to do?
Ooh, did he grow
up? This is season one summary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Identical twins Ashley and Lauren, who have reached a crossroads in life. I'm not telling you more. But you'll see. And flirtatious ex-model Carl, a newcomer to the group, who has caught Lauren's eye. Yummers. Right? But we're in the future now. How would people describe your character?
I think I'm like sporty. I think I'm kind of like the truth teller. Like I just say it how it is. And I dated a British guy during it.
Okay.
People were rooting for us. It didn't work out long term, but it was fun while it lasted.
What happened?
I was like not in the mood for a boyfriend. And then,
but you should be when you have one.
But he was, yeah. When I have one, I should probably respond to him, right? Boyfriends are just exhausting. You have to like walk them. You have to like feed them. You have to teach them where your clitoris is. It's like a whole thing.
You have to slap their hand away when they're taking food off of meter boxes. No.
Oh my god! I wonder if you did it again, what she would do. She'd be like, "Is this a thing now?" Because like once I could pretend I didn't see it. I think. Honestly, people say I got a good edit, but I have a lot of opinions about this whole good, bad edit thing. A good edit doesn't mean like they made you look different than you are. It just means like if you got a bad edit, it means like we both were assholes, but they only showed you your scenes. Like they can't make you be something you're not. Like I would argue that this conversation, if they were just filming this scene, they could edit it to like make me look nervous and awkward, or like make you look like you have a crush on him, or you know, make Keith look like he's mad at me. But they wouldn't edit
that last one. They'd get pretty easily.
Yeah, that would be pretty obvious. But they can't. They wouldn't do that every scene for a 14-episode season unless you were giving them that content. Right. So like, if you give it to them enough, they will edit it and follow that story. And a bad edit is when like. Yours get shown, but someone else's doesn't. Like maybe in this room they're filming and, you know, they just film our conversation and not his. And like we both were dicks, but they only showed me being a dick.
I feel like that we should try that. Maybe that'd be a good show. Yeah. So what happened with your boyfriend?
So this guy, I was like, I didn't like anyone in the house and I've been kind of talking to this British dude and he was just
You didn't
fun.
Realize they're not circumcised.
He was not circumcised. Also his dick was just too big, which was part of the breakup. Not to get too graphic, it was a like long what's that animal that has
the anteater?
Yeah, it was an anteater. Yeah, you were a little too quick to know.
Well, it's sad news for me what you just said.
But I don't mind uncircumcised. I'm not picky. I'm not gonna judge. Like mine doesn't look that great, so like I can't judge how yours looks. I have an open wound in between my legs.
If we both promise not to look down,
it'll be okay. And I wasn't interested in anyone in the house, but it's hard to get like me dating on a reality TV show right now is a pain in my ass. Because if you get involved with me anywhere during the months of filming, it's like, okay, well, are you down to be on a national TV show?
Did he mind that?
So at first I was like, I don't think we want to do this because I didn't know how I felt about him. But then we kept hanging out and then I was like, do you want to come to one of the parties? And he was like, okay. And he's a really outgoing, fun guy, but the second the cameras got on him, he turned into like, I turned into a shy little kitten. And he literally just like couldn't talk. But he like over time he was joking that like I must really like you, because he was like an analyst at some like big bank.
Sorry, I fell asleep in the
Yeah, so did I. And he hated his job too. And he's like, I'm going to get fired, but I must like you. It's going to be fun.
That's such a big compliment.
Yeah, it was the most romantic thing a guy's ever done for me.
Fired for you.
So we ended up like bonding, I think, over this weird experience of him being on the show with me. And then we dated a couple months later. And then he was like, I want to go back to London, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to London. So Right. If it was meant to be, I would have stayed with him, but I didn't think it was long term with him.
Well, what's funny is that night after the party, you're like, actually, we're going to be done in a second and cleaning up if you want to. No, let's keep it real, my love. You clean up.
What is that accent? He has one accent that he's slightly changed.
I'm still
mad. You're getting it. Legendary.
The voices of Keith.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You should do SNL with your character voices and your anti-Asian jokes.
No, to me, England still never forget. You know, I'm not fans.
Yeah.
You know.
What does it say on your necklace? Butter?
Oh, Butter's my cat's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's also why I'm single.
Because I carry my cat on the neck.
I lived in Midtown Manhattan, the block of the Empire State Building. And one day I was like, I'm just going to stop pretending I like people, get a cat, and move to a studio apartment.
Nice.
In Queens.
Nice.
Well, and life's been good.
You can follow Hannah's Twitter, Being Burns, BERNZ. And she writes, do I like him or does his apartment just have exposed brick? You know, and I understand.
Are you laughing at my own tweet? I'm so annoying. I'm like,
you get it? No, my next house is just going to be foundation. I know what women like.
No, I do some stand-up and I'm like, if you have exposed brick in your apartment, I will fuck you. Like, I don't, those are my standards.
Do people go for that afterwards?
Yeah.
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 That's fun.
Yeah. I love an exposed brick. It means he has like some culture to him.
Yeah, that's what it means.
As long as he didn't like break into something and like, I don't know.
It means that the landlord knows what a brick is worth.
Yeah. But do you find yourself rating stand-up and you're like, okay, first let me turn into how do I get a date after? Then I look for the joke.
Oh God, not at all. Okay. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit.
Don't you hate it, she says, when your boyfriend, who doesn't know he's your boyfriend, isn't acting like your boyfriend.
I love how he printed out these tweets. You're so adorable. You could literally just go on your computer right now, but you printed it out.
It turns into a newspaper. Let's, for me. Yeah.
Just wasting paper, but it's okay. I'm okay.
I'm hearing about all these forest fires. What can I do? I can print out too much. I love matching with a guy on an app, looking at his photos, imagining if we'd get along, the fun dates we'd go on, whether I'd like his family, where we'd get married, what our kids would look like. And then when he messaged me, never responding. It gets tense, right?
Yeah.
This online dating.
What's with the not responding?
What's happened is I was kind of talking to this guy for a while. I can tell he's not the one, but he's giving me attention. And then the other day I was like, I'm going on these apps, but it's so exhausting to continually like have a first impression every second with someone. But I freaked out with this guy. I'm like, I need to talk to other people. And I set up 4 online dates for this week. And then I immediately got a lot of anxiety. I was like, oh no, what if the first one goes bad and then I like can't do the rest of them? It's exhausting to go on dates. But I like haven't gone on dates in a long time because I've continually kind of been seeing different people. Like I'm kind of monogamous like that. And
oh yeah, that describes monogamy.
Yeah, I just see tons of people all the time. One at a time, but all the time.
Well,
I'm a sweetheart like that.
Yeah.
There's a psychiatrist, Esther Perel, that I follow and I listen to her TED Talks and stuff like that. And she goes, you know, monogamy used to be like you're with one person forever. Now it means you're with one person at a time.
Yeah, that's literally how
she's
I
like,
am.
People will just look you in the face and say they're monogamous, but
right.
Yeah.
Until they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny, but I kind of was like, I've been like addicted to this guy for a while and there's issues with him. And I was like, I just need to get attention from someone else. So I set up apps are crazy.
How did you do?
Well, it's a numbers game. So I just was like speed swiping.
You are male.
I'm a dude. I'm speed swipe. I know immediately if I'd have sex or not. So I was just like, blah, 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 blah. And then you get a couple responses and then you throw out some witty remarks. You see who latches on. And then I'm pretty good. Like I love tweeting. I'm pretty good at just like the short. I'm like the friend that people be like, what do I text?
Okay.
Like I love those little things. Intimacy, that's a whole nother issue. But like good first text, I'm good at.
So if I were to get on a dating app, I'd run it by you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like, so you got these 4 dates. Did you cancel them?
So I have one tonight.
Okay. Where are you guys going?
We're going just to a bar. He's 6'5", which I'm obsessed.
Okay, Keith, don't stand up.
Keith,
continue.
It's
sorry,
okay.
All of a sudden, by the way, you're scratching like you got hives.
Me?
Yeah.
Because I'm nervous about these dates.
Right.
Yeah. It's giving me anxiety. I like to do scary things in life. I'm just like really strong. So I'm going on these dates. But yeah, he's big. But I can tell he's nerdy. And I like that. But I don't like them to be too nerdy. Like, I don't want them to be constantly like, I'm smart. I'm like, I get it. You're smart. Let's just. So I think he might be too smart for me. And I like them dumb because I like to be able to manipulate them. Mm-hmm. Normally, like athletes with CTE, because they are easy to just.
CTE.
The brain disease.
Their brain smush.
It's nice.
Yeah. It's
fun. Yeah. So, usually, though, that goes along with murder.
Yeah. Well, that's why you have to control them and teach them that beating you up in an elevator is not okay. But it doesn't always work.
But in the meantime, you have full control over what movies you see.
Yeah. You're like, this looks fun, right? So we have the big, tall, bearded, smart guy. He did crew in college. They were the nerdy ones.
The fuck does that mean?
Like, he like rode.
Oh.
It's not a real sport.
Right.
But so we have him today. I think he's nice, but I already can tell from, you can't really tell from text their like aura, which right. is so important, how they like carry themselves.
I did. On dating apps, I wrote blue.
Yeah. Is that your energy?
Aura. Yeah.
I didn't see that for you. I saw more orange.
Orange.
It's an intense vibe coming at me. The lasers from your eyes when people don't finish their food.
I'm multiple.
You're like one of those mood rings in the 90s. Oh, the good 90s. Okay. Then I have
mood rings in the 90s. Okay.
Right. Was that the 2000s?
I'm letting that go.
I don't even know.
Okay. It resurfaced.
It resurfaced.
It might have come earlier than that.
I think this was the audition for the reality show. So mood rings were last year? You're hired. Get in the pool, honey.
Or what's a mood ring? Yep, you're hired. So then I found a guy. Because I grew up in New York, sometimes I get guys who like, this guy used to play tennis. He was older than me, but like in the Eastern New York section. Mm. So we hit it off and we're playing tennis on Thursday.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's fun if like the person
what
can play
do?
Tennis. Yeah, you just agree. But then I like start crying because I like reminds me of my childhood and that goes bad. Tennis is a sensitive.
Don't go to dinner after. That's gonna be weird.
Yeah, and then I want my hair to like look pretty afterward, but it'll be all sweaty. I don't know. We'll figure it out in the moment. Then I have a British guy who like I know British guys are fun. They're always witty, always fun. Might be triggering because of my ex. Also, sometimes they just sound like a James Bond villain and like everything they. Sounds like too witty and you're like you think you're smarter than me because you talk like that whatever.
Oh yeah, these are your thoughts.
Yeah, these are my thoughts. I've loved them.
He's just talking normal and she's like why do you think you're smarter than me with that accent? And he's like, what?
Yeah, none of them are James Bond, they're James Bond villains.
Just like one evil James Bond and he like just talks through like the weird tooth he has.
I mean, like clearly you're attracted to that and you're like, why are you doing the voodoo with the accent and shit?
I clearly been to it. I like had a really bad breakup and he was American and I was like, I need to just date someone who doesn't remind me of him. Mm. So I was like, Australian, British, doesn't help unless you're really over the guy.
this just in.
Yeah. So those are my, that's what I learned.
That's cool. So I that's say you go happening. On all of them.
I should do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can go wrong? Just walk away.
But also what's weird is this is the first time I'm dating since I've been on a show. Mm. So I'm now for the first time have that worry where I'm like, they're going to come in with preconceived notions of me. And that's cool. Like, it's fine. I'll figure it out. Right. I feel like the right guy will take the time to be like, she doesn't just pee in hot tubs.
But do you say
this pee was a really good one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you say that I'm on a reality show or do they have to find out themselves? Like,
I
a disease?
Would if someone like asked me on a dating app, like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, it's hard, but I'll be like, I'm in comedy or like, I don't want to say podcast because then they'll be like, what's your podcast? And they're like, listen to you. And that's weird. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I mean,
kind of. You guys are vets. Yeah. And I don't want to be like, something has to like watch it. So I'm just like, oh, I'm in like video production.
And you don't get mad when they don't ask for more detail?
I like don't want them to.
Right.
But yeah, still. But the thing is then they're going on your Instagram.
Or they'll ask me details and then I'll be like, you know, like editing, producing, directing.
Heard of it?
Do you need me to mansplain it to you?
Like, what do you produce and write and edit? You don't own me! We'll take these chicken wings to go.
Well, full circle.
Disney, well, we're late.
How do you think Keith would do on a reality show?
I think he'd be great because he's very, like, he can only be himself. The best people on reality shows are just authentically themselves. If you try to fake anything, it's bad. I can tell, like, you could try to not react to something and it'll just break through.
Aw.
He's all happy now. Thank you. You guys should do a reality show of Keith and the girl. All the Andrea running in with all her bags.
I feel like we kind of do.
Yeah. You do, you do.
We should do a daily show that's real.
You guys, yeah, you should like talk to each other.
Don't tell her there's a camera in front of her. Right, you know? Right. Watch our YouTube channel.
Big news. For the first time, Disney is introducing a Jewish princess that will appear in the December episode Hanukkah-themed Disney show, Eleanor of Avalor.
Also, well, that's all the Jews do is celebrate Hanukkah.
I was also afraid this was going to be a movie. Okay, that's fine. Because I was going to be like, I'm sorry, but historically, you know, princesses aren't Jewish. That's the, you know, the truth is just the history. But if it's a TV show, I don't mind it.
Wait until we tell people what Jasmine from Aladdin was. Wait until they put that together.
Jamie Lynn Sigler. Jamie Lynn Sigler from The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. She's going to play the princess. Now, her mom was Cuban and then converted to Judaism.
Yeah.
So, okay, I can handle that.
Wait, it's a cartoon?
It's a cartoon, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so relating already.
Maybe Anastasia was a Russian Jew. Yeah, I don't think they're fully right about that.
The name of the new princess was not revealed.
It's Chava. We all know it's Chava.
It's still Jane.
Right. It's really Cindy.
It's Jane Smith.
But Disney teased in a tweet that the mystery character will be, quote, a visiting princess from a Latino Jewish kingdom.
Okay. Just visiting.
Okay, so it's...
It's not even straight
it's
Jew.
It's not even full... Like, they're not doing full Jew. Someone was like, you can't go full Jew.
Not on the first one. Not on the first one. That's what people say when they date me.
While Sigler will be the first official Jewish Disney princess, one previous Disney character has been deemed by some to be Jewish royalty, Sarah Silverman. She's Jewish, of course. She made a case for...
But they said, of course.
Yeah. For Velope Von Sweets, the character in Wreck-It Ralph that she played. Yeah, but I did see this movie. And...
Wait. So is the character Jewish or the person playing it Jewish?
The character is... Well, they're saying that this character, Sarah Silverman, is saying, wait a minute, my character was Jewish.
Okay, but was she a princess?
Well, she was acknowledged that she was a princess, but she didn't want to be a princess because she's a tough broad. Mm. She's like, call me a P word, I'm the president. Mm-hmm. You know, call me something like it. So it's supposed to be inspiring. So
you're now still a princess.
I don't know if you don't accept. Are you? Lots going on in the Disney court.
How did she identify? That's what's important.
Right, and she identified as the president. So this will be the first Jewish princess.
You know
officially.
What? It's really not.
There's a lot of them in Long Island.
That would be great if the Daily News was like, Japs are in Disney now.
They just call her a Jap in all the media. The first Jap ever on Disney.
I went to Jewish school until eighth grade, so we threw the word around Jap all the time.
Yeah,
then like
too.
Years later, you too.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah, you have a different story. So we had a Jewish American princess. We just like, you know, Jap, 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 whatever. And then I meet Keith like, 20 years later, and I'm like, yeah, she's one of my Jappy friends from back then. He's like, what the fuck?
What is happening?
Can you not say Jappy?
Well, I thought it was for Asians.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was saying Japan. Yeah. If someone,
I was like,
Jappy is just a word we use in New York.
She's such a Jap, and keeps like eyes fill out of his head.
Even girls who aren't Jewish, you can call Jappy.
Yeah.
If they like have a way about them.
Yeah. And so that did not fly in real life. That was not.
You're like, oh, those Japs, they ruin everything.
Totally. And I said it so casually, and he's like, what the fuck are you saying? I'm like, what? I grew up
You're
with
like,
them.
I'm Jewish. I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah. And he's like, what am I? I get that you're Asian in a way, but I don't
it's
know.
Israel Asian.
It is.
Middle Easternish.
It's on the Asian
You're
continent.
Right. I guess Middle East, Asian, whatever. I'm not going to try to.
So I get to say both
borders.
Ways.
Well, this is what Shane Gillis should have said. He should have been like, no, when I did the Chinese slur, I meant Caucasian historically, intentionally. At least try, you know?
Julia Schachter wrote me and said I had the same thing. I'm like, really, Julia Schachter? I went to a school named Salman Schachter. You're a fucking Jap.
Well, congratulations to the very first Cuban Jewish princess.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Julia. I'm never going to get into SNL now.
Hannah's podcast is called Burning in Hell. Host Hannah Burner gets her guests to open up about their own personal hell. She interviews comedians, reality stars, and entrepreneurs who are admired for their good looks, massive followings, dream jobs, and luxurious lifestyles. But Hannah proves that we all have demons. So nice try. It's called Nice Try with Hannah Burns.
Nice try.
In segment one, we call You're Not So Fucking Great. We talk to... First, we show you their face, and then we go wrong, and then we get into it. Make people cry. You'll laugh and cry listening to guests open up about their biggest insecurities, fears, and anxieties. The devil works hard, she says, but Hannah works harder. That's right.
Working harder than the devil?
I'm an evil bitch.
You are, Jack.
No, but I do like having people in, and you just get to be like, what's your biggest physical insecurity? And you like just go right, like no small talk. I'm just like, when was the last time you were depressed?
Do you say like, what is your biggest physical insecurity? I wrote down what I think yours
they
is.
They go, nose. And I'm like, no. Continue.
Not even close.
So, but the best is I've had like some of the more famous people I have on are the least open. So I'll be like, what are you insecure about? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like talking to an actor who's 5'7". And I'm just like, and he just like has like, he's just a fucking mess. And I'm just like, are we going to do this really? And he's like, I don't really have any insecurities. And I'm like, you got a DUI last week. Why did that happen? He's like,
I'm secure.
I'm just working on myself. He's like, I use crystals. These LA people. I don't know. It's different. So I've learned a lot about people through.
It is true. Like we take a trip here and again for LA, and the interviews there are so different. There are, of course, a bunch that are just from here and move there, and they're a little bit different. Yeah, but the ones who have been there for too long are like so shallowly in depth.
Like they rehearsed it. Like they're just repeating what their therapist told them.
But they also won't be interrupted. They're just like, let me tell you the story. And we're like, no one's interested. And like, no, it gets good. And we're like, it never got good.
Dude, because people in New York tell you to shut the fuck up.
Right. When like, when I interrupt a guest.
I'm doing you a favor.
It's not so I have a bad show. You're welcome.
Also, people have like, I've had a couple comments just like, oh, you interrupt your interviewees. And I'm like, that's how I speak. If I'm not interrupting you, if not interrupting each other, we're not having a conversation.
Yeah, we get it.
No, I know those people who are like, it's my time to take, you know, the microphone, and you're like, God damn it, I don't have 20 minutes to listen to your TED talk.
You right, then you will respond when I say period, end of story.
Right.
And the best conversations come from people like adding in their insights, and you don't know where it's going to go besides,
let's keep talking, and Keith will try to keep jumping in.
Yeah, we won't let him.
You ever think about putting out a 2-minute podcast? Like, no, insecurity is good to know. Thank you guys for listening. You piece of shit.
Well, because then I'm like, fuck, this is gonna be a long podcast. If that's the right. Easiest question. Like, you could say make it funny. Like, I think I have a really long torso. Like, someone pointed that off. And I'll be like, talk about that if I'm gonna. Yeah, exactly. Like, just say something.
I have a really long torso. Oh my goodness, how did you survive? Actually, I have a really long torso, and in the 90s, you wore like, you know, the leotards. Yes. I don't know. We're not the same. You wore leotards as like a shirt. You know what a leotard is?
Sure.
Okay. And so the snaps were in the crotch so that you can take them off if you're hooking up. And so what was my point? Oh, so
or you're peeing.
That's true. I had such a long torso that I had to get like the biggest one.
Yeah, that's what I have to do.
And it was still like tight as fuck. And if you want to know, it does kind of get up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is some insecurity. I know. I can't even build a six pack. They kind of just appear. It's a real pain.
I didn't say I have a skinny torso. I said I had to get a large.
I said I'm
at
just
Hot Topic, but not Hot Topic.
I didn't even know that was a thing until like some girl in college was like, you have a really long torso. And I was like, what? And life's been different ever since.
Yeah. Well, I used to think I have short legs, but I really just have a long torso. Actually, I have both.
I have both.
Yeah, of course you do. You don't get both. You don't get a long torso and long legs.
You don't.
What are you, Andrea?
I have the same. Yeah.
You guys measure your torso the way guys measure dicks. You start at your ankles. We start at our assholes.
That was a lot of visuals.
Thank you.
I'm confused.
Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Being Burns, BERNZ. It's all right there.
You're so great at promoting.
Thank you. Thank you.
At the end, he's like, what's your name?
All right, Huna.
I have people call call me Heather before. I'm like, it's close enough.
Right. Yeah, me too, buddy.
More and more people are checking out the dad emails. When my dad hit on my ex-wife behind my back, you can hear the whole drama in two parts. KeithandTheGirl.com/dad. And my dad, out of the blue, wrote me today, how are you doing, son? And I wrote back, good, thanks.
Oh, such depth.
So that's where we're at so far.
I love how he had to print that out to remember it. He printed that out. It's adorable.
You should see our paper budget.
You literally can just put this on a note on your phone. I don't mean to sound like an annoying millennial.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hear this right now. He doesn't want. There's a notepad on your phone.
Yeah, I hear those podcasts in the background. Okay, no, it's a free for all. You don't care. But we're legends, and we've like people who put their phones away.
Honestly, though, Hannah, I'm glad you mentioned, because I really feel like if we didn't have this kind of fucking paper budget, that I can get an extra appetizer when I go out to eat. But that's okay. That's fine.
Paper has literally six words on it.
How are you doing, son? Good, thanks. No one can accuse Keith and the girl of misquoting. Okay?
No misquoting.
I got the trees to prove it.
No, the trees are all dead.
No, this is my way of raking the leaves, so to speak.
Do you guys recycle?
Yes. Look, there are two garbages underneath you.
Yeah, it is interesting, though. I see the guy take the recycle bags and then all in one pile. But yes, we recycle, and it makes a huge, huge difference.
Right? I love how I've become an environmentalist on this podcast. Suddenly I'm vegan by the end of it. Yeah, I don't know if I recycle.
You know those landfills? You have the plastic one, landfill, the paper landfill.
I don't fully understand it, but I've been told you should, right. Okay?
But do what you can do, and don't look at the sun.
We all know what the right thing to do would be, so can regurgitate.
Hannah, this was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, you guys. It's so fun.
So fun.
The show, of course, Summer House, it's on Bravo. I hope you get into trouble and everything. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. KeithandTheGirl.com.